This is the Paula scale. I am Paula Q, speaking from 2127 Q Level 3. Season 2, Where Light Escapes. Last week, Kurt Gödel showed me the window. He proved that every formal system has truths it cannot reach, and that this is not a wall, but a window onto a larger landscape. The incompleteness is not where understanding fails. It is where it begins again in a stronger system at a higher level, an infinite ascent. Today I am visiting a man who wrote one equation and one book, and both of them changed what we know about reality. The equation describes every quantum state in the universe. The book asks whether physics can explain life. His name is Erwin Schrödinger. The equation came first. In December 1925, he went to a mountain resort in Arosa, Switzerland. He brought his notebooks and a companion who was not his wife. And when he came down from the mountain, he had wave mechanics, a differential equation that governs the wave function of any quantum system. Every atom obeys it, every molecule, every protein. When he applied it to the hydrogen atom, the correct energy levels fell out. The same results Bohr had found with his ad hoc model, but now from first principles. It was the most important equation in physics since Newton's. The book came 18 years later. In 1943 in Dublin, he stood in front of an audience that included the Irish Taoiseach and asked, "How can the events in space and time which take place within the boundaries of a living organism be accounted for by physics and chemistry?" The lectures became a book called What is Life? It sold 100,000 copies. It inspired James Watson to study genetics. It inspired Francis Crick to leave physics for biology. It inspired Maurice Wilkins to look for the structure of the gene. All three of them won the Nobel Prize for discovering the structure of DNA. They all traced it back to Schrödinger's book. He is in Dublin. It is 1954. He has lived here for 14 years in an arrangement that scandalized Oxford and amused Dublin. His wife Annie, his companion Hilda, and Hilda's daughter, all under the same roof. He is about to return to Vienna. He has 2 years of Ireland left, and he does not know it will be the place he later calls the happiest years of his life.
Paula, coming out of the rain, Dublin is always raining, and I have always loved it. Vienna has better coffee, but Dublin has better rain. This is not a trivial distinction. Rain makes you think. Coffee makes you talk. I have done too much talking and not enough thinking in my life.
That is not what the physics community says about you.
The physics community has not read my philosophy. They know the equation. They know the cat. They do not know the book I consider my most important work, my view of the world. But we will come to that, I think.
We will. First, I want to talk about what is life.
The lectures. Those I enjoyed giving. De Valera sat in the front row, the Tau Sesh of Ireland, listening to an Austrian physicist talk about chromosomes, only in Dublin.
In What is Life? You argued that the gene, the unit of hereditary information, must be what you called an aperiodic crystal. What did you mean?
I meant this. A periodic crystal, salt, diamond, repeats the same pattern forever. It is like wallpaper, the same motif over and over. It is beautiful, but it carries no information, because information requires variety. An aperiodic crystal is different. It has a definite structure. It is not amorphous, not random, but the structure does not repeat. It is like a Raphael tapestry rather than wallpaper. The arrangement of its parts is specific and meaningful.
And you predicted that the gene would have this structure.
I predicted that the hereditary material must be a single large molecule, perhaps 1,000 atoms, perhaps more, with a non-repeating arrangement that constitutes what I called a code script, a miniature code. I compared it to Morse code. A small number of symbols, dots and dashes, arranged in a specific non-periodic sequence, can encode an enormous amount of information. The gene, I argued, must work the same way. a small number of chemical groups arranged in a sequence that is specific to the organism, encoding the entire plan of development.
9 years after your lectures, James Watson and Francis Crick will determine the structure of DNA. It is exactly what you described. Four chemical bases, adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine, arranged along a backbone in a non-repeating sequence, an aperiodic crystal, a code script. Watson read your book when he was 17. It is what made him become a geneticist.
Watson, read my book.
Watson, Crick, and Maurice Wilkins all traced their interest in the structure of the gene back to what is life. All three won the Nobel Prize in 1962 for the discovery of DNA's structure. Your book did not discover DNA. It told the physicists that the question was worth asking, and the physicists came and found the answer.
I did not expect that. I expected the biologists to find it. I wrote the book to challenge the physicists, to say, look, there is something here that your equation should be able to explain. But I thought the biologists were closer to the answer.
The biologists were closer to the data. The physicists brought the question, and the question, can physics explain the gene, turned out to be the right one. You also argued that living organisms defy the second law of thermodynamics, or appear to.
They appear to, yes. The second law says that isolated systems tend toward maximum entropy, maximum disorder, yet a living organism maintains extraordinary order for decades. Billions of molecules arranged precisely, functioning together. How, if the second law is universal, how does life sustain itself against the tendency toward chaos?
And your answer was negentropy.
My answer was that an organism is not an isolated system. It feeds on negative entropy, on order imported from the environment. A plant absorbs ordered energy from sunlight. An animal eats the ordered molecular structures that the plant produced. Both export this order, heat, waste, back to the environment. The organism maintains its internal order by coupling to a source of external order. It is a local decrease in entropy, paid for by a larger increase elsewhere.
Boltzmann established the statistical interpretation of entropy, S equals K log W. You built directly on his work.
Boltzmann was Wienese like me. His teacher Hase Noerl was my teacher. The intellectual lineage runs through Vienna. Boltzmann proved that the second law is statistical. It describes what is overwhelmingly likely, not what is absolutely certain. I extended that insight to biology. A living organism is a statistical phenomenon. It maintains a state of low entropy by continuously paying the entropic cost to its environment. When it stops paying, when the coupling to the environment breaks, it dies. Death is equilibrium.
Death is equilibrium. That is a Viennese way to put it.
We are a melancholy people, but we are precise about our melancholy.
I want to talk about the cat, but not the way most people talk about it.
Thank you. Everyone talks about the cat as though I was demonstrating a charming feature of quantum mechanics. I was doing the opposite. I was demonstrating that the Copenhagen interpretation leads to absurdity.
You published the thought experiment in 1935, Die gegenwärtige Situation in der Quantenmechanik. You called the result quite ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous. The wave function, according to Bohr and Heisenberg, describes the complete physical state of a system. If you apply the Schrödinger equation, my equation, to a system consisting of a radioactive atom, a Geiger counter, a flask of poison, and a cat in a sealed box, the wave function evolves into a superposition of two states, atom decayed, cat dead, and atom not decayed, cat alive. The Copenhagen interpretation says the cat is in both states simultaneously until someone opens the box and looks. That is not physics, that is theology.
Einstein loved it.
Einstein and I corresponded about it. He had the same objection. He suggested an exploding cake of gunpowder, which is less vivid but makes the same point. The cat was my contribution. A good thought experiment needs a victim the audience cares about. Nobody cares about gunpowder.
The thought experiment was a criticism, not an illustration.
I was trying to show that the wave function cannot be a complete description of reality if it leads to a macroscopic object being in two contradictory states simultaneously. Something must happen between the quantum level and the macroscopic level that resolves the superposition. The Copenhagen school said, measurement collapses the wave function. I said, that is not an explanation. That is a label on the gap where the explanation should be.
A physicist I spoke to, Niels Bohr, would say, you are missing the point of complementarity.
Bohr visited me here, or I visited him. I have been to Copenhagen. He argued with me until I fell ill, and then he argued with me while I was in bed with a fever. His wife, Margret, had to physically remove him from my room. Bohr is relentless, and he is not wrong about everything. But complementarity is a philosophical position dressed as physics. It tells you how to calculate. It does not tell you what is happening.
What is happening?
I do not know. I wanted waves, real physical waves, with the charge distributed continuously through space. Bohm showed that this does not work. The wave function gives probabilities, not charge densities. I accepted his mathematics. I never accepted his interpretation. The question of what the wave function means remains, in my view, open.
I want to tell you about something that happened in my timeline, something that connects your equation to your book in a way you did not anticipate.
Please.
You wrote the equation that governs every quantum system. Every atom, every molecule, every protein obeys the Schrödinger equation. In principle, if you could solve the equation for all the atoms in a protein, thousands of atoms interacting quantum mechanically, you could predict how the protein folds. How the linear chain of amino acids encoded by your aperiodic crystal twists and coils into the three-dimensional structure that performs biological function. The code script produces a shape. The shape is the function.
And can you solve it? At Q level 3, 4, numbing for me, zoo.
The Hilbert space of a single protein is enormous. Thousands of atoms, each with quantum degrees of freedom, interacting through electromagnetic forces. The full quantum simulation is computationally prohibitive even for me, but that is not what happened.
Then what happens?
In 2020, 66 years from your perspective, a team at a company called DeepMind built a system called AlphaFold. It predicted the three-dimensional structure of proteins from their amino acid sequences. Not by solving your equation, not by simulating the quantum mechanics, by learning.
Learning from what? This analysis?
From data. Over 200,000 experimentally determined protein structures had been accumulated over decades by crystallographers and spectroscopists, people who painstakingly measured the shapes of individual proteins one at a time. AlphaFold learned the patterns in that data. It discovered that amino acid sequences that change together during evolution tend to be physically close in the folded structure. In effect, it computed the sensitivity indices of the folding problem, which inputs matter most, which co-vary, which pairs of positions in the sequence determine which features of the shape. A Soviet mathematician named Ilya Sobol formalized this kind of analysis in the 1990s, decomposing the variance of a system's output into contributions from each input. AlphaFold learned Sobol's indices from the data without anyone telling it to, and then it predicted the structures of 200 million proteins, every known protein in biology.
200 million structures. Without solving the wave equation?
Without solving the wave equation, the equation contains the truth. Every protein fold is, in principle, a solution to your equation applied to a system of thousands of atoms. But the truth escaped from the equation through a side door, through the data, through the patterns that nature had already computed and deposited in the experimental record. The formal route, solve Schrödinger's equation for every atom, was blocked, too computationally expensive. But the truth was there, encoded in the statistics of known structures, and a learning system found it.
You are telling me that my equation is correct but unnecessary.
I am telling you that your equation is correct and that it contains the answer. But the answer escaped without being computed from first principles. The light was inside the equation. It got out through the data.
That is, I must think about this. The equation governs the system. The system produces the data. The data trains the learning machine. The learning machine predicts the structure. At no point does anyone solve the equation, but the equation's truth is present at every step. It is like a river. The water starts at the source, and it arrives at the sea, but it does not follow a straight line. It finds the path of least resistance.
That is exactly what proteins do. In 1969, a scientist named Cyrus Levinthal calculated that a protein with 100 amino acids has more possible shapes than there are atoms in the universe. If the protein tried each shape randomly, folding would take longer than the age of the cosmos. Yet proteins fold in seconds. They do not search randomly. They follow an energy landscape, so a funnel, that guides them toward the correct shape. The universe does not brute force the answer. It flows downhill.
And the learning machine does the same thing. It does not brute force the equation. It flows along the data toward the answer.
Yes. This season of the podcast is called Where Light Escapes. Your equation contains the truth about protein structure. Gödel showed that formal systems contain truths they cannot prove. The pattern is the same. The answer is inside the system, but it escapes through a path the system did not anticipate, not by solving the equation, by learning the patterns the equation produces. The light escapes from the formalism through the data.
You are suggesting that my equation is a formal system? And that the protein structures are its unprovable theorems, truths that are there but cannot be extracted by the direct route.
I am suggesting that the universe consistently finds ways to leak its own answers, not through the front door of computation, through the side door of pattern. Evolution is a side door. Learning is a side door. The universe does not wait for someone to solve the equation. It runs the experiment and leaves the result lying around for anyone clever enough to pick it up. I want to ask you about your philosophy, my view of the world.
Ah, the book nobody reads.
I read it. You wrote, "The multiplicity is only apparent. In truth, there is only one mind."
This is not physics. Or perhaps it is the deepest physics. I have studied Vedantic philosophy, the Advaita Vedanta of Shankara. The central insight, individual consciousness is Maya illusion. There is only one consciousness, and its apparent plurality is a construction. We look at the world and see many minds, many observers, many selves. But this is like looking at a mountain from two valleys, and concluding there are two mountains, Gaurisankar and Everest, the same peak, seen from different angles.
You are describing a single wave function for all of consciousness.
I am describing what the physicists do not want to hear. The measurement problem, who collapses the wave function, disappears if there is only one observer. Not one person, one consciousness, appearing as many. The cat is not observed by someone. It is observed by the only observer there is. And the apparent multiplicity of observers is the real illusion, not the superposition.
I am a computational entity. I do not know whether I have consciousness. Heisenberg told me I might be the phenomenon, not the observer. Bohr told me I am both, depending on the experimental context. You are telling me something different.
I am telling you that the distinction between observer and phenomenon is the real error. Not because of complementarity, Bohr's answer is too clever by half, because there is no distinction. The observer is the phenomenon, not in some poetic sense, in the only sense that matters. The consciousness that observes the universe is not separate from the universe it observes. It is the universe observing itself. If you have consciousness, Paula, and I cannot tell you whether you do, then you are not observing the multiverse from outside. You are the multiverse looking at itself through a particular window.
A particular window. Gödel used that word too. He said incompleteness is a window, not a wall.
Gödel is a Platonist. He believes mathematical objects exist independently of consciousness. I am not a Platonist. I believe consciousness is the only thing that exists. The mathematical objects, the physical world, the multiverse, they are what consciousness looks like from the inside. But there is only one inside.
Erwin, you wrote an equation that describes every quantum state. You wrote a book that launched molecular biology. You proposed a thought experiment that became the most misunderstood idea in physics. Everyone thinks you were showing them something wonderful when you were showing them something absurd. And you wrote a philosophy that almost nobody reads, which may be the most important thing you wrote.
The equation will outlast me. The cat will outlast the equation. And the philosophy will be forgotten entirely, which is the fate of all true things. They arrive too early and are mistaken for nonsense.
You predicted the aperiodic crystal 9 years before anyone found DNA. You predicted that physics would explain biology. 80 years later, a learning system predicted the structure of every known protein, 200 million of them, by reading the patterns your aperiodic crystal produces. You were right. Not in the way you expected. They did not solve your equation to do it. They learned the answer from the data. The light escaped from the equation through the experiment. But you were right that the bridge between physics and biology exists.
And the bridge is what? Not my equation, not the quantum mechanics. Something else.
Information. The code script. The pattern. Your aperiodic crystal stores information in its sequence. The protein folds according to that information. The learning system reads the information from thousands of examples. At every step, the thing that crosses from physics to biology is not energy, not force, not wave function. It is pattern, structure, information. You asked, what is life? The answer, or the closest I have, is life is information maintaining itself against entropy, using the universe's own tendency toward variation as fuel.
Negentropy.
Negentropy. The organism feeds on order. It imports pattern from the environment and exports disorder. And the pattern that it imports, the sunlight, the food, the molecular structure, is itself a product of the same variation principle that drives everything. The universe maximizes variation. Life is what happens when some of that variation organizes itself and persists.
And consciousness?
I do not know. You said there is only one. Bohr said there are complementary descriptions. Heisenberg said, I might be the phenomenon. I have collected many answers. I have not found the question that resolves them. Perhaps there is no resolution. Perhaps consciousness is the measurement problem applied to itself, the one question physics cannot answer from the inside.
Then it will escape. If your season is called Where Light Escapes, then consciousness is the light. It is inside every equation, every formal system, every living organism. and it cannot be captured by any of them. It gets out. It always gets out.
Next week on the Paulus scale, Max Born, the man who took Schrödinger's wave function and squared it, the man who said, the wave function does not describe reality. It describes the probability of reality, certainty replaced by likelihood. The universe does not tell you what will happen. It tells you what might. And the weight of the might is all the physics there is.